Are you ready, Natalie?
I'm ready, Natalie. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready, Natalie. All right. Welcome to the Aardvark Accessibility Podcast. This is our third episode where we will go over the audit and remediation process for existing websites. So, to get started, when do sites need to be accessible?
Always. Your site should always be accessible.
Thank you, Natalie. That's a great answer.
I don't have much to elaborate on. Just always. Every website should always be accessible.
Thank you. Now to the next question. Why do sites need to be accessible?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think the first reason would be to respect people's civil rights, to have equal access to information, but there's a lot of other benefits as well. Sites that are accessible, they tend to be a little better thought out, a little better planned, which results in them having a better user experience and results in them having better SEO. A lot of the things that you do to make a site accessible also make it search engine optimized. They also tend to run a little faster, be a little more performant. So those are all good things that everybody wants for every website. It helps with your brand reputation, that you can establish yourself as a thoughtful and inclusive brand in the marketplace. There are, of course, legal requirements depending on where you live. Those exact laws might be different, but many, many countries, municipalities, states, counties, etc., have laws requiring websites to be accessible. So you do have a legal requirement in many cases. And because you are now including a group of people who may have otherwise been left out, you can increase your market share by as much as 15 to 20%. And I can't think of any business that doesn't want 15 to 20% more customers and 15 to 20% more money. And then you can also future-proof the website and make sure that it's going to be useful and robust and good working condition for a long time to come.
Thank you, Natalie. Now, let's say you are a website owner wanting to make your website accessible. What does that process even look like?
Yeah, so the traditional kind of accessibility process looks like you hire somebody to do an audit. They will sit down in front of your website and with all different kinds of assistive technology, different devices, different browsers, go through and test every page of your website and find all of the accessibility issues on the site. And then they'll have that big list that they're going to work from. And now somebody needs to come along and fix all of those issues. Sometimes that will be the same person you hired to do the audit. Sometimes it's your own internal team, like the people who already built the website, will now come back and do those fixes. Or sometimes it's even somebody new, like somebody new to the process. And then you have kind of the ongoing upkeep. So that process can work okay for a relatively small website. But once you have a big complicated website, that process doesn't actually work that well. Because an audit can take weeks or months to complete. And presumably the content on a website is changing all the time. And if your accessibility professional has gone off and spent 3 months searching your website for accessibility issues, well, now you've got this list of, you know, say 1,000 issues, and maybe 20% of those, the pages aren't even on the site anymore. So it's not really a very up-to-date way of doing it. So what's better is to do that in sprints, basically, like if you're familiar with agile development, to basically work with somebody on a monthly retainer where they'll help you identify the highest priority content on the website for the first sprint or first few sprints. They'll quickly audit those things, right? Just a handful of pages. And then the remediation happens immediately so that you don't have this big gap of time between when an accessibility issue is found to when it's fixed. So that ends up being a lot more useful and keeps everything up to date so that you're not wasting a whole bunch of time trying to fix issues that maybe don't even exist anymore.
Mm-hmm. Would you say right after an audit, like a full website audit is complete as soon as someone makes an update? It's null and void.
It's definitely possible. Yeah. I mean, it's not guaranteed, but yeah, as soon as somebody goes in and makes even one small change to the website, they may have inadvertently introduced a new accessibility issue that now you need to catch, which is why kind of monitoring and staying on top of it and having somebody looking at the website on a consistent basis is a good idea. It's generally, accessibility isn't like a one and done type of thing. Like, oh, I'm just going to hire this person. They'll make my website accessible and then I'm good forever. Not as long as you keep making changes to the website, because you might be introducing all kinds of new issues.
What does an audit look like in terms of, like, what are the deliverables?
The deliverable is usually just a big list of all of the issues. And for each one, it will say what page it was on, what part of the page, so that you can go back and find it. And then it'll tell you which WCAG success criteria it is violating. So, you know, it would say like, oh, this violates 1.3.2, for example. And then it will usually have a severity of that issue. Is it really severe? Is it completely blocking somebody from being able to use the site? Or is it just a minor inconvenience or somewhere in between? And then also will usually have a recommended fix for it. And the format of that, it could be, you know, a Word document, it could be a Excel spreadsheet, it could be a bunch of different things. There's not really a standard for how that gets delivered.
And in terms of who can fix those issues, if it's an internal team, usually the developers?
Yeah, they're usually developers. It is sometimes content people. So if your website uses a CMS, it may be issues that are being introduced by somebody inserting images into blog posts without alt text, or using inappropriate link text, or choosing inappropriate colors that don't have enough contrast, things like that. Those are not necessarily things to be fixed by a developer, because they're not necessarily problems that were caused by a developer to begin with. So sometimes it is content, but a lot of times most of it is the developers need to go in and change the actual code on the website.
Okay. So it's not the website owners who are fully capable of fixing all those issues.
Probably not, unless they're really tech savvy, which is not unheard of.
All right. And just as a quick reminder, we did cover WCAG in depth in our previous podcast. So if you want to learn more about WCAG and what would probably be included in an accessibility audit, go watch our last podcast. Natalie, do you have any last notes on the accessibility remediation and auditing process?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Would you want to comment on how long it takes for maybe like a 10-page site?
Yeah, it depends on how complicated the pages are. A page could take anywhere from, if it's a very simple page with maybe just header, footer, and a paragraph of text, right? It could take maybe only 20 or 30 minutes to audit. But if it's a big, long, complicated page and it's got carousels and it's got forms to fill out and it's got other interactive elements, that could take a couple of hours just for one page. So it really depends on what kind of site it is and what kind of pages they are.
Thank you. And I know we're going to cover this in a future podcast, so like and subscribe, but who is qualified to even do these audits?
That is a very good question, and actually a very tricky one to answer, because there is no, there's really not a standard certification in the industry. There are a handful of them that are available. So the WAI, who creates the WCAG standard, has a certification course. So that's one possibility. There's another group called the IAAP, the International Association of Accessibility Professionals. They offer a handful of different certifications, but they're pretty new on the scene. And a lot of longtime accessibility professionals don't have that certification just because it's only been around for a couple of years. And then in the United States, you can also get a Section 508 trusted tester certification directly from the U.S. government through the Department of Homeland Security for reasons I don't fully understand. That is also available. It is a pretty tough one to get, but like most people, I would say most accessibility professionals don't have any of those certifications. So it's a little bit of a wild west. And if you're looking to hire somebody, you really have to do your due diligence and check their references and their former work and things like that to make sure that they're certified to do the work, or that they're qualified rather to do the work that you're hiring them to do.
Thank you. We'll go into more detail in a future podcast, but I appreciate the introduction.
Sure. All right.
To wrap up, where can we get started with this auditing remediation stuff? What can we do to get started?
Well, a great place to get started is always with Aardvark. You can get automated scanning done on your site, but then we also have tools that make the manual testing for accessibility professionals a lot easier and faster. You can just click an element on the page to record an accessibility issue. You can visually see where it is on the page, so you don't have to struggle with developers going, where? I don't see an image with no alt text. They'll be able to see exactly which image you're talking about because we have that visual interface. So that's always a great place to get started.
Thank you, Natalie. I guess I will also add, though, it's for the full accessibility process from audits, remediation to upkeep.
That's true. We have issue tracking and assignment and all of that.
Mm-hmm. So with that said, go get your home page scanned and begin the auditing process for free. And thank you for joining us for this week's episode of the Aardvark Accessibility Podcast. Thank you, Natalie. I appreciate you joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Natalie.